Thanks, everyone. Gee, it's quite a skill to get through an interview with Peter Garrett when he's asking the questions. Actually, Midnight Oil was one of my favourite bands growing up as I graduated from Carmen. I really liked Aussie rock, and I had a group of friends later in our teens into young adulthood, and we used to go to a lot of pubs to listen to music, and I really, really enjoyed that, and that still stuck with me. And so when I hear a song like King of the Mountain or In Excess song, Cold Chisel, Jimmy Barnes, it takes me back to those good days. That's the music I really, really like. I think it's quality. I think it's manly. But I thought I'd share with you some of the music that I listen to most frequently at home and in the car. So here's some of it. Yeah, one of my favourites. Don't stop, make it pop, DJ blow my speakers up tonight. I'ma fight till we see the sunlight. TikTok, who likes Ed Sheeran? I'm on my way, driving at 19 down the road. Alright, thanks Conrad. Now, when I got Conrad to repair those songs for me, he actually wrote back to me and said, Michael, I hope you've got a very good reason for inflicting those sounds on everyone this morning. But I just wanted to share my suffering with you. You probably worked out I've got daughters, and I've got two teenage daughters, and that's the kind of music that is in the car, is at home. And I do like some of it. It's a long way from the Oils, though. But incredibly popular music, so I don't know whether you know all those songs. So Taylor Swift, just through the roof for popularity with Shake It Off. Megan Trainor, All About the Bass. Keisha, TikTok. There's some real teenage angst. I could give a whole talk on teenage angst music, but that's not what we're here for. And then Ed Sheeran, Castle on the Hill. Very popular. One of those songs, I can't remember which one it was, had 368 million views on YouTube. It's just extraordinary. What I want to talk to you about today, though, is a song that's lasted over 200 years, and I think it is the most popular Christian song, and that's the song Amazing Grace. And you've got it on your tables there. I've printed out the song for you. Let me read you the first verse. I'd be very surprised if you haven't heard this before, but some of you may not have heard this song before. This is the most popular Christian hymn ever written. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. So we're going to explore this song together this morning. And we're going to do it because it takes us right to the centre of Christian faith. It's a great song because it actually shows us what it means to know God truly. I reckon it actually debunks a lot of myths about Christianity. So there's a lot of wrong ideas about how to know God out there, and this one actually strips it back and says, this is what it's all about. And I reckon if you don't get this song, you don't get Jesus, you don't get Christianity. It's as simple as that. And why do I say that? Because this song, up front, loud and clear, says this really important thing. It says, knowing God is not about being good. It's not about how good you are. It's not about how religious you are. It's not about whether you go to church. It's not about you. It's not about your performance. It's actually about God. It's actually about God's kindness, an undeserved kindness. That's what grace means, that comes to us freely as a gift. And so we're going to think about that this morning, and it's really, really worth thinking about it because we don't want to miss out on that love, that wonderful gift that God's given us. So let me share with you a little bit about this song. I think you can see as you skim through the words, if you've never seen it before, it's a hymn. It was written by an Englishman, John Newton, over 200 years ago. In 1779, it was published. It is the most popular Christian hymn, but I reckon it's actually, it'd have to, it's a bit subjective, but top 10, top 50 songs across all the genres, across all cultures, I reckon it's there. It's interesting, isn't it? The songs we heard earlier, like the Keishas, the Taylor Swifts, they will come and go. Where will they be in 10 years' time, 20 years' time? Here's a song that's actually lasted 200 years. It's been recorded 6,600 times to countless tunes, and they reckon it's performed 10 million times every year. But what I find really interesting about songs is what's the story behind the song? Do you find that interesting? So why has this artist written this song? It's obviously personal to them, and sometimes you can tell, can't you, when someone's singing a song, if they're singing someone else's song, you think, do you actually get it? Why they've written that song? That song was very personal to them, and it's their story. Good songs actually take you on a journey, and it's not just old songs that do this. Who's a Whitney Houston fan? There's a few out there. She's just lovely, isn't she? Before Christmas, I heard one of her songs on the radio again, and they're just beautiful songs, aren't they? The Greatest Love of All, I Want to Dance with Someone Who Loves Me. And I was reflecting, what makes those songs so beautiful is not just her incredible vocals, but that you can tell that she really means the words, that it's actually, sadly, it's her story, isn't it? There is an absolutely beautiful woman, but she's lonely, searching. And that comes out in her lyrics and the way that she sings it. In this hymn with John Newton, it's actually about his story. And I think that's what makes it so profound as well. It's actually about John Newton realising, oh, it's not about being good, being religious. It's about receiving this wonderful gift from God, undeserved love. And so let's have a look at that story. John Newton really, really got that about Christianity. A lot of people today don't get that. He really, really got it because before he wrote the song, he was not a very nice man at all. And that's to put it in very understated terms. He was certainly not a good man. Here's the words that are used to describe John Newton. He was angry. He was spiteful. He was foul-mouthed. It's said that he actually shocked. He spent a lot of his time as a sailor. He actually shocked older, more experienced sailors with how well he could curse in the English language. That's his reputation. He's one of those guys who doesn't just swear, he invents new language, new ways of belittling people and insulting people. I think you'd call him a racist. Back then you'd call him sexist, bigoted, arrogant. He was definitely a blasphemer, so he had no respect for God. He even ridiculed Christians. He mocked the Bible. He's not the kind of guy I don't think that you'd have to your dinner party somehow. So what happens, what changes for him? He goes into the Royal British Navy and surprise, surprise, he gets discharged from the Navy because of ill discipline. He rebels against the authorities and he takes up a job with a slave trader in West Africa. And he moves on from there. So later on, he captains slave trading ships. Eventually, he owns his own slaving operation. So he makes money out of taking people from places like West Africa to places to the Americas and New England. England. So that they might be sold as slaves. So he makes his money out of treating people badly. But on one particular day, March 21st, 1748, he's on a journey on the ship called the Greyhound. And we know the details of the events from a guy called Hindmarsh. It's recorded for us. And he's on a voyage. This time it's from Brazil to Newfoundland. So that's an island off Canada. The ship is loaded up with slaves. It's most likely over laden. Out of greed. The ship hits a violent storm and the ship is in such poor repair as the storm batters the ship, it starts to break up. Water starts to come into the hull. They're still afloat. And as this is happening, John Newton is in the hull of the ship, in his quarters, asleep. But he wakes up, and he quickly works out what's happening, and he quickly confronts the reality that people are drowning, people are going overboard. The ship is in absolute chaos. He turns to his first crew member and watches him go overboard and drown. It's a terrible, terrible scene. And Newton, to prevent himself from drowning, actually ties himself to the ship. He ties himself to the ship. He spends the whole night pumping and doing all those kind of jobs that a captain wouldn't normally do, just out of desperation, until eventually he's called up to steer the ship again. But in the midst of it all, he describes how he's certain that he's going to die. Now, it's one of those moments that some people go through in life. I don't know whether you've had this experience. Very few of us really have. Where you get to that place and you go, this is it. I think this is it. I'm about to face God, is what John Newton came to reality. And he's thinking through, what will God say to me? What will God think of me? Will God let me into heaven? And I can't say I've had this moment in life, that such desperation of that your life is almost come to an end. But I have heard that it makes sense, doesn't it? People review their life at that point, if they have time. I've even heard of people describing their whole life flash before them as they think about what's happened. And John Newton records for us that's what he was doing on the ship. So he's thinking about all the past events in his life. He's thinking about the times when he actually grew up with a Christian mother. He describes how he remembers saying he was going to follow Jesus, but not really meaning it and not sticking with it. So that comes to his mind. How he remembers all the different times that God had actually rescued him on journeys and things had happened which he could only attribute to God, but he'd ignored. He, of course, remembers his bad language and the terrible way he treated people. He comes to mind is how he mocked Christians, like absolutely ridiculed God, had such disdain for the Bible. So all of that is coming to his mind, and it all draws up on him, and he realizes, you know, he's absolutely convinced that he has sinned way, way too much for God to forgive him. And that's true for some of us, isn't it? Some of us think, I've actually done some things, thought some things that God could never forgive. And if relationship with God is dependent on what I've done, then I'm just nowhere near it. And that's the place that John Newton got to. Some of us have the other problem, don't we? We don't actually realise that we've sinned, we've offended God, but John Newton realised that. And what came to his mind in all that chaos and all that reflection was actually some Bible verses that his mum had taught him. He lost his mum at the age of 7, but he still remembered some of the verses that she'd taught him. Now, we don't actually have those verses, but we're told they were verses about God's grace. We're told they're verses about God being able to forgive even the worst sinner. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, what you've thought, God can forgive you and he wants to welcome you home. That was what was going through his mind. And he cries out to God. He asks God to forgive him. He survives the storm. And later on, he looks back at that moment and he says, that's when I first believed. He's actually even got a line in his song, the hour I first believed. And that was the event back then. Now, we don't know the part of the Bible, as I said, that he was thinking of, but I've written down a verse for you that I think captures exactly what he was going through and what he was thinking. And it's Ephesians chapter 2. Have a look on the bottom of your sheet there. It just says, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. See, the wonderful news that John Newton realised is that God can give us something that is completely, completely undeserved to us. He realized that God can love and forgive and show mercy even to the worst of sinners. And that's what that's saying. For it is by grace, it's by God's undeserved favor towards you that you can be saved. You can be in relationship with God. And it says, through faith. And that just means through trust. Through trusting God. Trust Him. Don't trust yourself. Don't trust someone else. Trust God. Who are you trusting? You're trusting God. What has He done that you're trusting? You're trusting the Lord Jesus. That He sent Jesus to deal with our sins. That Jesus actually, on the cross, suffered for our sins so that we might never suffer for our sins. So that we might be forgiven. We might be declared innocent before God. Trust God on that. Lean on that. That's what this is saying. And there's a really helpful follow-up line there, isn't it? Just listen to it again. And this is not from yourselves. Remember, this is not from yourselves. This is a beautiful gift from God. When you get a gift, it's not because you deserve it, is it? It's because someone wants to generously love you. And that's what God is doing in Jesus. And just to make it even clearer, He says, not by works. It's not by what you have done or haven't done. You've got to be thankful for that, haven't you? So that no one can boast. You can't say, I earned my way into heaven. John Newton certainly couldn't say it. None of us can say it. It's only because God has taken the initiative in Jesus to show the kindness, His kindness to us. And so He writes this. Let's finish again with this first verse. How amazing grace, how sweet the sound. See what John Newton is saying? He's saying, I just think it's absolutely amazing that God could forgive me, a sinner. That is amazing, that is abundant, that is wonderful grace and love. How sweet the sound, he says. That is, this is the best thing that I've ever heard in my life. Why? Because it saved a wretch like me. He calls himself a wretch. Some people have actually tried to soften that in years gone on. Are you really calling yourself a wretch? No, he was a wretch and he admitted it. And another way of saying it is a sinner. You know, not all of us have blasphemed and been a slave trader and had a foul mouth like him. But the Bible says we've all offended God. We've all tried to run life our own way. We can't live up to God's standards. We even heard yesterday, we can't even live up to our own standards. That's the problem. And yet, God is willing to forgive us if we put up our hand and ask Him. And so, John Newton concludes, I was once lost. I was lost in my sin. I was lost in my own life, doing my own thing. But now I've come home. Now I'm found. I'm with the Father. I'm in the family of God. He says, I was blind. I didn't see clearly. I was in the darkness. But now suddenly I see everything new. God, life as it's meant to be. I was blind, but now I see. It's a wonderful story, isn't it? It is just a wonderful story. And it's an absolutely awesome song that has resonated over 200 years because it's about God's kindness. And God's kindness that has reached a man who knew he was a sinner. But it's also a song that has resonated with so many people, and many of you here today as well, because it's your song. It's my song. Now, that might not be the case for everyone here, but I want to finish by asking you, is this your song? Can you sing this song? And I'm not asking you about your vocal ability. We can try that out later. But as you hear those words, I think we're going to hear them played a bit later, can you say, yep, that's me. Thank you, God, for amazing grace. Yes, I am a sinner. I am a wretch. I was lost, now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. If that is your song, that is wonderful. Now, not all of us may relate to this song. Throughout this week, we've been talking about a course called Simply Christianity. I think I'm really hoping Peter Garrett can plug this course today, because we had Jimmy Barnes plug it yesterday. I've never had such famous people advertise this course for us. But a fantastic course. If you want to know more about this Amazing Grace, 5 weeks where you can come on Tuesday night, have a meal with a small group of people, ask any question, invite a friend if you like, and find out what does it mean to experience this amazing grace from Jesus.